God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that when we engage it, you use it to change us. We thank you that you use it to reveal yourself to us. And God, we just pray that as we expose ourselves to it, that we will be transformed, that we will worship you, and that we will serve you in the capacities that you have put before us. God, this morning, we want you to speak to us and change us, and we just pray this in your name. Amen. So have you ever felt like there was a time in your life when you were in a crowd, and the crowd was kind of moving in a certain direction, and there was just something within you that felt like you should maybe choose a different path and not follow the crowd? Just not follow where everybody else is going. Just something within you said, maybe I should take a different path. Well, let me tell you a story that kind of fleshes that out. In junior high and high school, I was on the pole vaulting team. Now, in order to be a successful pole vaulter, you really need three things. You need to be fast, and you need to be strong, and you need to have good form. So I was neither fast nor strong. So obviously my success was extremely limited. It was super weird to tell people that I was on the track team, because if they ever saw me run, it was just super embarrassing. And I absolutely hated to run. I couldn't run sprints. I couldn't run long distance. I couldn't run medium distance. I just couldn't run. I hated running. It hurt. I have nightmares about trying to run and I can't run. It's horrible, and I usually get caught, and bad things happen to me, and I wake up in a sweat. It's not really a good thing, but I just hate to run. I feel like it hurts. I feel like it's against everything that my body was designed to do. So being on the track team, if you didn't play other sports, you ran off-season track. Well, off-season track meant you ran with the cross-country team. So there was only about five of us that didn't play other sports. So we were forced to do off-season track with the cross-country team, which just spells disaster for me. So what the cross-country team would do is they would leave the school campus, they would run to a park, they would run around that park, and run back to campus, an overall trip of about 3 miles. And so we would leave campus, we would begin our journey, and of course we would get about a block off of campus. I would already be way back at the back of the crowd, obviously, because I can't run. And I can remember having a decision to make. I can remember thinking, I do not want to run these 3 miles. It's just not something I want to do. The crowd was heading that way. I felt a strong urge within me saying, don't follow the crowd. And then a guy in front of me ditched into an alley. And I was like, this, now I truly have a choice to make. Do I follow the crowd, or do I take the detour? And so you can guess which decision I made. And so me and this other guy sat in this alley underneath a pecan tree and ate pecans for the good part of 25, 30 minutes, chatted it up until the group came back around and passed by the alley. And after we didn't feel like we knew who the slowest person was, and we saw him pass, we casually got up, exited the alley, jogged back, acted like we were tired, you know, and came back. It was great. It was a great choice that I made that day. I traded 3.5 treacherous miles for 30 minutes of good conversation and pecans. It was a great decision that I made that day. Now, I tell you this story, the moral of the story is really, you have to set aside, you have to forget that there's dishonesty and cheating, and you have to set all that aside. That's not really the reason why I told the story. But the choice to not go with the crowd, And the question is, have you ever been in that situation where you watch the crowd around you, you watch people living their lives in a certain way, taking a certain path in life, and something within you was just telling you that you felt like you should take another path, that you should go in a different direction. Well, this morning we want to take a look at what Matthew 7 has to say about that. And as Tim already mentioned, Dennis kicked off a new series last week that really it's unlike anything that we've ever done. It will go all the way through April, and it's designed to help all of us get into God's Word and trek along in God's Word together. And so if you missed last week, the plan basically involves reading one chapter a day, starting in Matthew. And on Sunday, we will discuss whatever chapter comes up. It's kind of a little bit scary because you don't know what's going to pop up, and you have to teach on it. And so today is Matthew 7. So if you missed last week and you didn't get the handout, there's some on the window seal in there. You can go to the Trinity app. If you don't have the Trinity app, you can download it. And I don't know how it works in other phones, but if you go to the settings on your phone, not in the app, but on your phone, scroll all the way down to the Trinity Bible app and click on it. And if you make sure it's activated to tell you to get notifications, you'll get a pop-up every morning. I got one the other day. It was the first one. It wasn't working the first few days. But I got one that told me what, I just hit it, and it opened up the Bible to that passage. You can read it. You can click on something to listen to it if you want to listen while you're driving. But it's a great way for us to just engage God's Word together. The student ministries are doing it as well. So if you have middle schoolers or high schoolers, you can talk with them about it. We've actually challenged them to be the ones to read and then test you on if you're reading and keep you accountable. So this morning, what I would like to do just as a part of accountability is if you read this week, I'd like for you to come over to this side of the auditorium. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I want to, but I'm not going to do that. And so we really want to encourage you to grab a reading plan. It's not about checking off that you did it. It's about getting into God's Word and allowing Him to radically change who you are and who we are by getting into His Word. So we want to encourage you to do that with us. And so this morning, that brings us to Matthew 7. And so to catch us up, kind of what some of you may have been reading this week, Matthew is basically... Matthew is written by one of the disciples. It's interesting. His name is Matthew. He's also called Levi, the tax collector. Matthew is writing his book so that we will know that Jesus is the king, that he is the rightful heir to the throne of David, that he is the predicted Messiah. That is kind of Matthew's purpose in writing this book. Matthew has taken us through Jesus' birth, his childhood, his baptism, in preparation for his public ministry. Matthew contains five major sermons or discourses, which is a phenomenal way that the book is kind of put together. And so the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at today, or part of it, is the first of those recorded sermons that we see Matthew give us. Jesus would travel around as he was teaching. He would go to town to town. He would heal people. He would teach, and he would gather crowds around him, people that wanted to hear what he had to say. And he would stop occasionally and give a major sermon. Sometimes he would just stop and give a few words or some encouragement or explain something that he just did. But there are these times that they would camp out, in a sense. They would gather a crowd, and he would give an extended sermon. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount here is. He is speaking to those that have been following him, waiting to hear what he has to say. And so this morning, we want to kind of jump to what is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of his final wrap-up of the things that he's been saying. The Sermon on the Mount basically has unpacked what it looks like to participate in God's kingdom. And he's been talking about this, you know, different stories and different things that he's been telling, what it looks like to be a part of his kingdom. And he gets to the very end and he wraps it up with a very popular, many of you have heard this, it's a very common verse that we memorize or we use in kind of evangelistic conversations, but Matthew 7, 13 and 14 is where we want to start this morning. And he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." As you can see, this passage lays out for us the fact that there are two paths. There are two paths. One is the direction that most everyone is going. But there's another path that leads off in a different direction. One is wide and it leads to destruction. One is narrow and it leads to life. So let's take a look at the implications of taking the narrow road. There obviously is a choice here that most people are taking the wide path. Most people are heading that direction. And yet there is a pull here to say, take the narrow road. And what is the implications of that on our spiritual journey? And I feel like there's two major areas that this verse has implications. And one is in regards to our salvation. So you can see in your bulletin there's some fill in the blanks. And that's the point number one is in regards to our salvation. The narrow road in regards to our salvation. Which road we choose has eternal implications, right? Which road we choose has eternal implications. Choosing the narrow road leads to eternal life. The road is narrow. Think about this. The road is narrow because there is only one way to enter the gate. The size of the road almost represents the ideas that exist on the road. So there is a narrow road, and there is one gate, and there is only one way through. And that this message, Jesus desperately wants those who are hearing it to get a clear picture and to know that eternal life has one way. There is only one way to find it. There is only one way to enter into it, and that is through him. And that Jesus clarifies this in another passage in John 14, 6, verse that we all know. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through me." There is a narrow gate. There are not multiple ways. There are not lots of ideas. There is one way, and it is Jesus himself. And Jesus is basically saying, "I am the gate. Enter through me, and you will have eternal life." The only way that we can experience eternal life is by trusting Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So now let's compare that to the wide road. And think about the wide road is where most of the people are. Strange thing is you don't necessarily choose the wide road. You are already on it. It says, do we want to choose to take the narrow road? But we're already on the wide road. We start out there. Because those of us who are on the wide, those who are on the wide road, those who have never chosen to take the narrow road, have all kinds of their own ideas about eternity. They have all kinds of opinions and beliefs about eternal life and maybe different ways to heaven or maybe different views of eternity or that God exists or doesn't exist. It's wide because there's many, many beliefs, many ideas. Really, it's welcoming to anybody to have or believe anything that they want. Many theories, many beliefs about eternal life. Jesus has told us that there is only one way. But human nature is to believe that we know best. God, Jesus has given this sermon and he says, This is God's design. God knows what's best, but our human nature, and I know my nature is like this, my nature says, I think I might know better. I think I might know better, and that's just human nature. Some of you may have read the book Pilgrim's Progress. One of the very first books I read when I really got excited about growing in my Christian growing spiritually and really challenging myself to think about what it looks like to live for Christ. And so it had a very deep impact on me. John Bunyan writes in Pilgrim's Progress, he says, "What God says is best, although men in the world are against it." God knows what's best. He says what's best, but there's something within our heart that says we know better and we're going to go against what God says and we have our own ideas and our own plans. In regards to salvation, the narrow road is a picture of the truth that eternal life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Very clear. I also believe that this picture of the narrow road, as I was reading it this week, I made a decision to trust Christ as Savior whenever I was young. I grew up in church, and I made this decision. So it's easy sometimes to read through something, go, oh, that's referring to trusting Christ as Savior, and just move on like there was nothing there for me. And I just began to read this going, what does this passage have to say to someone who has already made a decision to trust Christ as Savior? What is this verse, what is Jesus saying in this sermon that applies to those who have already made that decision? And so I also believe that this picture of the narrow road and the wide road also has implications in regards to life after salvation. Life after salvation. Anybody who trusts Christ for the forgiveness of their sins enters through the narrow gates and begins a journey along the narrow path. That journey has begun. But the truth is you and I both wake up every morning and we have to make a decision. Am I going to walk the narrow road or am I going to walk the wide road? Am I going to stay on the narrow path? What kind of decisions am I going to make today? What am I going to do? Am I going to live according to God's design? Am I going to think what's best? That's a decision that we face every morning. Am I going to live according to God's purpose or my own? My relationship with God does not change. I've trusted Christ. I am forgiven. I'm His child. But I am choosing to do what I think is best instead of what He thinks is best. So the result of choosing to travel the wide road, it leads to destruction. The things that I put my hands to, the things that I encounter, are not going to be successful. Jesus is not only concerned with our eternal destiny, and that's what I see in this, is that Jesus is not only concerned with our eternal destiny, He is concerned with that, but not that alone. He is also deeply concerned about our lives right now, and the way we live our lives and the things we experience. And He wants us to experience the fullness of life instead of defeat and failure. He wants us to experience life with Him instead of life without Him. So Jesus' sermon tells us four ways that staying on the narrow road, four ways that staying on the narrow road leads to a transformed life. And as He moves through some very popular, familiar parables or descriptions, He unpacks what does it look like? How are our lives transformed if we choose the narrow road? And so we want to take a look at those four things briefly this morning. As we just read, our future is transformed from destruction to life. Our future is transformed from destruction to life. So in verse 17, in the passage we just read, one road is wide, leads to destruction. One road is narrow, and it leads to life. When we make a decision to live on the narrow path, our future is transformed from destruction to life. He then goes on in verse 17 to say, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And what Jesus is telling his disciples, his followers in this sermon, is that the fruit of our life is transformed from good to bad. The fruit of our life is transformed from good to bad. Fruit in Scripture, when it refers to fruit, fruit is that which comes out of our being, our person, that is an outflow of who we are in our heart and our soul, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Those are things that come out because of who we are. At the core of my heart and the core of my soul, I have character traits. I have things that are true of me. I may put something different on the outside, but the fruit of my life is things that come out based on who I am at my heart and my soul. And what he is saying is that when we find ourselves in stressful situations, we find ourselves kind of in the grip of life, when we are just living life, fruit comes out. And that may be anger or frustration. That may be hatred or guilt. And he's saying, living on the narrow path takes and transforms those fruits of our life and transforms them from bad fruit to good fruit. I have a satsuma tree in my backyard. We've been nursing it for what feels like years, and it's about this big, and it's hurting. And I don't know what I'm doing or whatever. But a couple of years ago, it had these fruit. It looked great, and we pulled it off. It was the most disgusting thing ever. It was like all dry and gross. And so somebody told me, well, are you fertilizing it? And I was like, well, I don't know. And so I read up, started fertilizing it. Well, last year it put out some fruit, not much, but it put out some fruit, and it was really pretty good. And so this idea that when we transform what's on the inside, we have the ability to produce fruit that is good. Whenever I choose to live on the narrow path, I begin to exude things out of me that are not the same as were before. I begin to show fruit of love and peace and patience and kindness to those who are around me. Choosing to walk the narrow road results in Jesus transforming that which is normally self-centered and selfish into something that is caring and compassionate for others and passionate about God and who he is. Jesus then tells us that not only is our future transformed from destruction to life, not only is our fruit of our life transformed from good to bad, but Jesus tells us that our fellowship with God is transformed from broken to intimate. That our fellowship with God is transformed from broken to intimate. Matthew 7:22. He goes on to say in this sermon that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. When we choose to walk on the narrow road, we get to know Jesus at a more deeper and intimate level. We get to know Jesus more intimately. We get to know who he is, who his character is. Jesus' desire is not only that we do Christian things, that we serve him, that we volunteer for ministry. Those things are all great, but that's not his goal. His goal is not that we would engage in serving and being a part of ministry and even taking the gospel to the world. His goal is to know us deeply. That's where it all starts. That's where God's heart is, that he wants to know us, and he wants to know us deeply. So serving him, ministering for him, sharing our faith, doing all those things should flow out of the fact that I know him intimately. I don't do those things so I will know him. I do those things because I know him. Serving him should be a result of knowing him. God wants more than anything to know us intimately. Lastly, our foundation is transformed from temporal to eternal. Another very well-known scripture that we have read through, we've probably taught our kids this, we've heard it spoke on, Matthew 7:24. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." See, we can spend our lives doing things that will absolutely have zero eternal significance. We all know that. There's temptation and pressure to get wrapped up in things that just absolutely do not matter. Or we can spend our lives doing things that will last, doing things that matter for eternity. When we walk the narrow road, God will place the things of his heart on our heart. God will take the things that he is passionate about and begin to make us passionate about. One of the things that matters to God is people. People matter to God. You matter to God. Everybody matters to God. People matter to God. Even the people that we don't like, even the people that we don't really care for, even the ones that have hurt us, even the ones who we don't know, even the ones who are far away from him. Everyone matters to God, and God deeply cares for them. And the more I walk on the narrow path, that God will begin to transform me to care for people as well. I always use that as a test. How well do I care for people? Do I have people in my life that I absolutely just can't stand, and I'm kind of fine with that? That tells me that my heart is not like God's heart. And I have to take that before him and say, "God, just transform my heart to care for the people the way you care for them, that I will love them the way you love them." When we begin to see people as someone to love and care for instead of using them to accomplish our own goals and purposes, that's when God has truly transformed my heart. And that in business and even in ministry, and we oftentimes see people around us as objects to get done the things that we want to get done. And God says, "I want to transform your heart to care about the things that I care about, to care, to have a foundation that is based on things that are eternal and not temporal." And people being at the foundation of that, God wants us to develop a heart and a love for the people around us. So we have a choice. We have a choice of the narrow road or the wide road. When we choose the narrow road, our future is transformed from destruction to life. The fruit of our life is transformed from good to bad. Our fellowship with God is transformed from broken to intimate. And our foundation is transformed from temporal to eternal. So I want to end with just a few practical things. We've talked about the results of choosing the narrow road. So the question is, how do we stay on the narrow road? How do we continue to walk on the narrow road? What does that look like? What does that even mean? In my daily life, if I am going to take the narrow journey, first of all, the narrow journey starts with trusting Christ as Savior. We must enter through the gate and choose to trust Christ as Savior. If you are here this morning and you have never made a decision to trust Christ as Savior, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you it's simple. It is not complicated. It does not require some special understanding or knowledge. It just means that you recognize before God, I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from you. And God, I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. I want to accept the free gift of forgiveness because I know I cannot earn my way. And I want to trust in Christ's death on the cross. That's as you communicate that in your mind, possibly right now, to the heart of God, that's what he's looking for. Trusting in Christ, making that decision to step through the narrow gate. The narrow journey starts with trusting Christ as Savior, but the narrow journey is strengthened through personal time with God and his word. That is one thing that I love about this reading plan, is it says, it's basically made it easy for us. Sometimes we don't know where to read, where to start. We're studying through a book, then we don't know the next thing we want to do, or we get out of the habit. And this is taking care of that for us. It says, here's a plan. Here's some chapters. Read this. And I don't have to try to figure out where I want to go next and what I want to do. And it's got a date on it, and it makes it real easy. And I can have my phone remind me. And the reason why is because when I open up God's word, and I read it, it changes my life. When I open up God's word and read it, it transforms who I am. And I love the fact that we can all journey through this together. But whenever I open up God's word, it's like it lays the foundation for God to transform my life. We're busy. We go through life oftentimes rushing from this thing to that thing, and we don't stop and we don't take time. We don't turn off the music. We don't shut off the devices. And just being able to be quiet and in God's word just basically is a hands out saying, God, transform me to make me who you are. The narrow road is also sustained through community. So what does the journey on the narrow road look like? Trusting Christ as Savior, spending time in God's word, and getting in Christian community. Getting into relationship with other believers who love God and who love you. And that in the context of Christian community, we care for each other, we love each other, we support each other, we encourage each other. We carry each other's burdens. We have the ability to push each other to be all that God wants us to be. There is very little success in walking the narrow road and walking it alone. The narrow road is hard. The narrow road sometimes it gets dark. The narrow road sometimes you can't see what's around the bend. The narrow road is not an easy journey, and it's meant to be done in community. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, like say this is the last week to small, what a great place to start developing some of those relationships that will give you that community and that accountability. I'm not saying that's the only place it happens, and it's not. There are friendships, there are people in this room that you know that you may say, you know, I've gotten to know that person. We've begun to build a friendship. And that person, that community, the things that they do for me and I do for them and our relationship, again, has laid out this foundation that God is just transforming our lives. Christian community is critical if we want to walk the journey and walk it well. Nobody is ever encouraged to go on a long hike in treacherous area alone. Always encouraged to take a hiking buddy with you to create an opportunity for success along that journey. So this morning, I want to just ask, where are you? What road are you on? Are you walking the narrow road? Are you walking, have you drifted in the direction and just kind of following the crowd? Jesus is drawing our hearts. He so desires to have intimacy with us. and you feel that pull of, you know, maybe I need to take a different path. That's the Holy Spirit in your life saying, let's journey along the straight and narrow path. And that's the encouragement this morning that I want to give you is, where are you? What decisions do you need to make to continue on the narrow path, or either to get back on the narrow path? Maybe you've fallen off the narrow path, or to enter the narrow path for the first time. So let me pray for us. God, this morning, as we look at Matthew 7, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and as Jesus so eloquently teaches his audience about the kingdom, about eternity, God, I want to thank you for giving us clarity and that there is only one gate to that path, and that gate is Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice, and we thank you for the clarity that life is only found through him. God, this morning, I just want to confess to you that sometimes I find myself on the wrong path. Sometimes I stray. Sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes I get lost in the woods. God, I thank you that when we walk the narrow road, that you transform us and that you change us in so many different ways. God, and I pray that you will continue to help us to have accountability amongst ourselves, to push each other, to stick to the reading plan, to read, to allow you to transform us. God, that this will generate conversations as we know that we're all kind of in the same parts of Scripture, and that we can begin to develop spiritual conversations with other people in the church that maybe we've never had spiritual conversations with. And God, this morning, we thank you for your grace, that when we stray off the path, you are a God that is patient and gracious and calls us back to you. We thank you and pray this in your name. Amen.